Please turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we are going to read three verses tonight. And let's do this. I'll read Acts chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. You just join me on verse number 11. And as long as you listen well, I think we're going to be out just a titch early tonight. I purposely didn't plan a long sermon, but one that I believe will be helpful to you. Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. I'll read verses 9 and 10. You join me on verse number 11. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would take these next, 30, 35 minutes, and would you teach us a truth that we could take with us the rest of our life? Would you change our lives? Would you change how we view things? May we have our reset button pushed and our focus changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, hang on here. Got to switch things out. There we go. Here in Acts chapter 1, you have the recording, let's say, of Jesus going back to heaven after the resurrection. Understand something. Jesus has been crucified. He had been buried for 3 days and three nights. He resurrected and spent 40 days on the earth. And during that 40 days, he went about preaching and he proved himself as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and the High Priest. And in Acts chapter 1, after 40 days, he's going back to heaven to wait to come back for the rapture. And the disciples are around him, all 11 of them. You say, well, there was 12. No one before Jesus died went out and hung himself because he had betrayed Jesus. That was Judas Iscariot. He was dead. He was literally in hell at that time. But these 40 days, he has been going around and getting these 11 men ready to go out and to do great things. By the way, they're just moments away from Pentecost. Possibly just hours away. And Jesus said, okay, fellas, I'm leaving. It's all yours. And the Bible says a cloud came, and Jesus, for lack of better terminology, he stepped on that cloud and started going up. And they're just watching. They're waiting for him to come back. Bible says that two men in white apparel, they were angels, came to these men and said, why stand you here looking up? That same Jesus is coming back. He told you to go do something. Now get busy. I love that statement. This same Jesus. Not one like him. Not another one. It's going to be the same one. And he said he's going to come back in like manner. In other words, he's going to come back in a cloud. Now, I'm going to come back to this story in a little while. Hang on. Let me explain something. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane before? All right. Most everybody in here. I can't tell you that I've flown a lot, but probably a little more than average, not a whole lot more. I've probably, I don't know how many times I've flown, but I was... One of the trips I have taken, many of them, did you ever get on an airplane and it's cold or rainy outside, foggy, nasty? And you kick back and take off. And not too long after you take off and you start through those clouds, you get up above those clouds and all of a sudden it's clear. it's sunshiny. And you forget that it was raining down below. You look out the window, if there's somebody not next to it that's snoring or slobbering on it, and you look out there and you can see the clouds below you, but where you're at, it's sunshiny. You know that just minutes ago, it was all cloudy, dark, nasty, sometimes raw. Man, I've taken off out of Chicago in snowstorms. It's nasty, brutal. And all of a sudden, you're up above that and it's bright and sunny. You're thinking, Shazam, where'd that thing come from? I didn't see it down there. But you kind of got up above the clouds. Now, I want to use that analogy to help you. I work very hard at trying to live my life just that way, above the clouds. Too many people, I'll say, see them and I'll say, how you doing? Oh, under the circumstances, not too bad. My first thought is, what are you doing under the circumstances? Come out on top of them. Now, I'm not one of these power of positive thinking people. That's garbage, folks. You can think positive all you want, but guess what? It's not going to change anything. But I can tell you this. You can look at life and view life a little differently. You can look at life as being down on the ground, looking up at the clouds like the disciples, or you can be like Jesus and step on that cloud and make it your carpeting and your footstool. It doesn't have to be your ceiling. You see, you might not be able to stop the clouds. You might not be able to keep the rain from coming, but you don't have to live under the clouds. I'll be honest with you. I don't always feel like living that way. Did y'all catch what I mean there? I don't always want to live that way. There's days I want to grumble. Do you know days like this make a Baptist preacher want to grumble a little bit? One of my preacher friends this morning, he said, people told me yesterday, if it's cold, they're not coming to church. He said, makes me mad. And I thought, yeah, makes me mad. There's people that could have been in church today that sat at home because it was cold. Aw. Did you know they missed the blessing of God? Now, I can let that eat at me. I can let that make me mad. Or I can live above the clouds. I decided I was going to live above the clouds. Did you know I didn't put any less energy into preaching this morning than I have any other time I've preached? You know, I put no less preparation into it. I can't control the weather. Do you know what I learned a long time ago, Brother Taylor? They haven't been able to figure out how to not make it rain or to make it rain yet. Matter of fact, they haven't even figured out how to predict it yet. Did you know that they haven't figured out how to make the wind stop blowing? Did you know that they haven't figured out how to make weather? Because they don't. God does. So, you only have one choice. You can live under it or you can get above it. And I decided a long time ago I was going to live above the clouds of life. Too many people walk around life like Pigpen and Charlie Brown. Y'all know who Pigpen was? That's the guy that walked around and had the cloud of dust around him everywhere he went. He just kind of hung around everywhere he was. He always had that dark cloud around him. I know Christians that live with a dark cloud around them. You know, there are some people I don't say, how are you today? Because they're going to depress me. They really are. Now, I don't mind you saying, oh, man, I'm hurting. Join the crew, amen? I did something stupid today while I was preaching. I know you don't believe that, but I did. My hip hasn't been feeling real good lately. I got to preaching this morning, and I stomped my foot like that, but I stomped the wrong one. There was a pain that shot through my body. It felt like somebody hit me with about 400 volts of electricity. Oh, Ooh, I was trying not to cry while I was preaching. Say why? Because I was stupid. Now, wait a minute. I was preaching. I wasn't thinking. I was thinking after I did it, but I wasn't thinking then. I was like, ooh, what did you do that for? And I couldn't even show it. I didn't say, oh, sorry, folks. You say, why? Because it wasn't going to do you any good. I was the only one that knew I did it. Why should I tell everybody I did it? So I tell them tonight. Amen. You know, rainy times are coming in life. Do you know that the clouds of attack will come into view one day? I don't know if you've ever had anybody attack you, but I live with it. I live with people attacking me. It's funny. I'll get a phone call. I'll get a text. Praying for you, Brother Bush. I know you're under attack. I said, I am. That's news to me. I don't live under the attack. I live above the attack. They'll say, what do you mean? I said, I didn't know I was being attacked. Even if I am, they're fighting down below me. I'm living above that. I don't mess with it. Say, don't you investigate? I never investigate an attack. Let them fight. They're not hitting me. I don't care. They're running their mouth to somebody else. Doesn't bother me. Did you know that pain hovers over you like a storm? Now, I know what pain does. Pain can grind at you. If you've never had nerve pain of any kind, like a back or something like that, or a pinched nerve in your neck, amen, Brother Taylor, you haven't experienced pain. But I understand that pain can cloud you. Can I tell you something? I decided I wasn't going to let pain get me down. Now, pain might slow me a little bit, but I'm still going to live above the cloud. I might be hurting, but I'm going to live above the cloud of the pain that overshadows that hurt. Did you know that the winds of false accusation blow? Do you know, I don't care where you are, who you are, or where you work, where you live, there's going to be false accusation. You can't stop false accusation, but you can live above it. You say, well, I can't believe somebody would accuse me. Have you ever read what people accuse God and Jesus of doing? If Jesus can't live above false accusation, what chance do you think you have? Why do you get so bummed out about what somebody said about you? Folks, I tell people, Brother Brining, you're going to love this one. I don't listen to what people say, good or bad. Now, I try to accept the good a little bit, but I don't accept too much of it because my head will get too big. And usually the ones that say it too much are the ones that are going to stab you in the back the next time and pop that head, amen? Folks, you can't do anything about what people say. So it's time to live above the false accusation. Did you know that grief brings low-lying clouds and fog? Good night. Grief will bring fog into your life. You go through the death of a loved one, and sometimes you go through that process and you feel like you're walking through fog. You can't see because of the clouds. Can I tell you something? Get above the clouds. Get above the clouds. I live around death. I know that sounds kind of funny, but there's hardly a month of my life, and I don't mean this the wrong way, it's very rare to even go a week of my life and not hear of somebody who has died or deal with somebody who is dying. I live around death. You say, how can you be happy? Number one, not me that's dying. Number two, most of them have gone to heaven. Number three, it's going to happen to all of us. Why sit here and walk around in a fog? Folks, I talked to my 97-year-old grandma yesterday. Do you know what? She's going to die one of these days if the Lord doesn't come back first. Now, she might outlive all of us, but she just one tough old German. Can I tell you something? I plan on crying, but I'm not going to stop living. I'm not going to walk in a fog. I'm not going to mourn so much that I live under the grief. I'm going to step above the grief. I'll take time to hurt. I'll take time to remember. And by the way, I'll never forget. Good night. Her husband, my grandfather, has been in heaven for 34 years, almost 35 years. She's been a widow 34 and a half years. Can I tell you something? I still miss my grandfather. I miss my other set of grandparents. I miss other people that I know have been in heaven. Just recently was the 14th anniversary of Brother Hiles going to heaven. I miss him. But I don't stop living because I miss them. I'll go and take what they've taught me. I'll take what they invested in me, step above that grief, and continue on. Oh, I'm just so depressed. I lost this person. Why don't you take what that person taught you, invest it in somebody else, and make it live? Live above the cloud. Did you know that the clouds of criticism can engulf you? Do you know if I listen to every criticism somebody says about me, including what I say about me, I'd be in trouble? Folks, I'm probably my worst critic. I am. I criticize myself probably more than anybody else does. I got to be careful not to listen to myself too much. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can improve myself to death. I just have to realize that criticism, by the way, I don't like it when people criticize me. I don't enjoy when people criticize me. It hurts when people criticize. But may I say this? Guess what? I listen to that like I listen to anything else. Here it goes. You know, if I were to do Friday night over again, there's a few things I would have changed. Not much. But I wrote some notes down of what I would do differently and how to adjust some things here or there. But we had a great time. Why should I focus on one or two minute little things and miss the great time we had? Good night. I wouldn't change the pork, amen? There was just a few minor little things. Some of you would live your whole life on those couple little things. I look at the whole big picture. Okay, I got a 98 out of 100. Whoopee. Guess what? That's better than most tests I ever took. I'll take a 98 any day. Okay, I missed on two things. Well, what was they? None of your business. But I know what they are. I'll fix them. I'll make sure it's adjusted, and I'll go on. Say, did you have a good... Man, I had a great time. I had fun watching you all. I had fun watching Jimmy and Evan and Mark do the hooky low. Matter of fact, I had somebody send me the video so I could watch it again. I sent it to my wife. She said, that's a good way when you're having a bad day to make you smile. I said, no, that's a good way to when you're having a bad day to belly laugh. It was hilarious. I've known this has been coming for weeks. I will never, ever look at a coconut the same way ever again. Kay Ecker walked in with a coconut purse, and she was flaunting it in front of me, and I purposely waited about 30 minutes before I even recognized her. Say why? Because I wasn't going to give her the satisfaction, amen? None of you will ever look at a coconut the same way the rest of your life, I promise you. It was a slip in the pulpit that turned out to be one of the funniest things we ever had. It was great. I got lost for words that day when I was making the announcements, and I thought, I'm going to get in trouble. It ended up being the hit. To the point where my wife put two of them up here. Dirty dog. She's in the nursery. She's hearing me right now. Folks, criticism can engulf you. Did you know that loneliness will hover over you like a dark storm cloud? Loneliness. But it doesn't have to. You can live above the clouds. Now, I have a real simple outline. I'm almost embarrassed. I'm going to make one statement before I start this. The man that I know that probably lived this truth as well as any human being I've ever met in my life was Dr. Jack Hiles. That man seemed to just never, he was always up here. It didn't matter. I sat in a staff meeting one time. He said, fellas, he said, we're going to be okay. I thought, what does that mean? Mike, when the boss says we're going to be okay, you know something's wrong. He said, just so you know, we've got 7 lawsuits against us right now. He said, you haven't known this, but I've known it for months. We didn't even know they were going on. He said, I wouldn't say anything, but now you've been drawn into one of them, and I gotta bring you up to date on it, but you're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. He said, and just so you know, the media is going to be here today. And he was getting us ready. You're probably going to have your name splashed in the newspaper all over the area. This is what it's about. And this is what he said. He said, I don't want you to defend me. And I don't want you to defend yourself. He said, let's just go do what Jesus would do and go help people. And let's let this thing play out. They'll die down. Don't worry. And he was right. The next day, we were in the newspaper by name, all over Lake County, Indiana, all over Chicago. I mean, they had us linked with all kinds of things. It was hilarious. He turned it almost into a joke. He was living above it. Now, don't you think with 7 lawsuits, you'd be a little nervous? I was in Bible college when this took place. Brother Brining, you will love this. The bus director decided to get a bunch of baby chickens to give away on bus routes. For all these Chicago kids, can you imagine 7,000 or 8,000 kids in Chicago getting baby chickens to take back to the high-rises in Chicago? They did. Brother Hiles got a call from the city attorney of Chicago that he had been named in a lawsuit because in the city of Chicago, it's illegal to give away livestock, and in that it included baby chickens. We had broken the law 8,000 to 10,000 times. He ended up having to go to court over that thing. He was there in court. Judge said, now, Reverend Hiles, is it true that you gave away baby chicks to all these children and then named thousands and thousands? He said, yes, sir. He said, matter of fact, I did something worse than that. I ate their mother for lunch that day. Judge didn't like that. That's the kind of man he was. He wasn't trying to be goofy. He just lived above the... Take a church to court over a baby chicken. Well, a lot of baby chickens. He just seemed to live above it. He never seemed to let it affect him. Now, let me show you what he taught me, what I learned from him, and what I've had to learn to live to do myself. Number one, make clouds your footstool, not your ceiling. Make clouds your footstool, not your ceiling. Can I tell you something? When I see a storm coming, I think, how can I get over that one? I'm going to get above it before it storms on top of me. Did you know when you... I've got some lights in my house or ceiling fans, and the folks in my house are vertically challenged. We can't reach them from the ground. So I stand on a footstool to turn fans on and off. Okay, that's a stepladder for you. But I stand on a footstool and get up there and turn the fan on or turn it off. Can I tell you something? That's exactly what I do with a cloud. I try to stand on top of it. Jesus took the cloud and stood on it and went out of sight. He got above it. Can I tell you something? When grief comes, I decide I'm going to stand on top of it, not let it come on top of me. It's not going to be my ceiling. It's going to be my footstool. When attacks come, I'm going to step above it. I'm not going to stay below it. when criticism or grief or the rainy times come, the loneliness comes, I'm not going to stay underneath it. I decide I'm going to step above it. You know, when I feel lonely, and by the way, there's days I feel lonely. Not because my wife doesn't love me, but there are days everybody feels lonely. I always go and get alone with God, because guess what? I'm never alone. He's always with me. I've always got the Holy Spirit with me. I don't ever, ever have to be alone, Brother Gus. And guess what? Jesus said, they'll attack you, but they're not attacking you, they're attacking me. Guess what? Even when they're taking pot shots at me, they're shooting at Jesus, not at me. I just get to be the silhouette, amen? And I'd rather take a shot for Jesus than anybody, that's for sure. Don't look at the cloud. Too many people see the cloud and, oh, man, did you ever see a real good storm coming? Look up and, I grew up in the Midwest. You've never seen storms till you see those Midwest storms. Amen, Brother Mike? There's just something about a Midwest storm. You can look out and all of a sudden the clouds start turning gray and then they get purple and then they turn black and you're thinking, ooh. And then they start boiling and they start climbing and you're thinking, ooh, this is going to be a good one. My wife and daughter, or my daughter was a baby. She doesn't even remember this. We were in Indiana. And my wife was off at some ladies' meeting or something or other. And the boys and Mindy and I were at home. Good night in Indiana. You're in Tornado Alley out there. They said, oh, we got a tornado in Munster. My house was 4 blocks from Munster. Say, what'd you do? Come on, boys, let's go. We jumped in the car and started looking for it. We were chasing it. I watched it. I went down Lyman Avenue, went out Holman Avenue, went down, and it was coming through it was only about 6 blocks from our house, and we were watching this thing, man. I was following it. I found out which direction it was going, and I was following it. I stayed behind it. But I said, look, guys. And they were, so what? I said, yeah, that's what it is. Cool, Dad. I said, yeah, just stay back from him. And they were just little shavers. Can I tell you something? I went looking for it. You say, why? I didn't want them to be afraid. Now, there are some things to be afraid of. When it's coming at you, get afraid. But until then, don't worry about it. It didn't come all the way down and touch the ground. Too much. man, lightning. I had just moved to this area about 13 years ago. I was in, I don't know if y'all call it Weiss or Wise or whatever, over here on Edwin Miller. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and we had one of those snappity-crackity-pop lightning storms and rain. I had to go in there and get something for my wife. I ran over there. Brother Brining, I got an umbrella in one hand. I'm pushing one of those stupid carts in the other hand, and all of a sudden, the sky lit up, and the parking lot lit up. And is all I heard was, zoop! And I'm watching tar fly about from me to Brother Gus away. But at the same time, I got that stupid umbrella in the air and I'm holding on to a shopping cart and I'm going like this. I got the residual electricity and it went all the way through me out that cart and I couldn't let go of anything. It's like, I will not carry an umbrella. I hate those stupid things. I am not going to do that ever again. Say, why? I don't like electricity, especially that much of it. Man, I mean, for 3 days, I could feel the tingle all the way through both arms. It was like... Now, I was glad I didn't take a full shot. I mean, it knocked a hole in the parking lot like that. I mean, there was tar flying. It was exciting, let me tell you. Some older fella was getting out of his car. He said, did you see that? I said, yeah, I felt that. I'm doing this. He said, did it hit you? I said, hit my umbrella. You could see where it had gone through the umbrella. It's like, oof. He said, what'd you do with that thing? I threw it away. You didn't keep it? Why do I want that? I'm not going to live underneath that. I got me a hat instead of an umbrella, amen? I'll get wet. I don't care. Now, wait a minute. Let the clouds comfort your feet, not cover your light. Do you know that when grief comes, when attack comes, you can find comfort in it. Can I tell you something? I don't like getting attacked. But I found out when I'm getting attacked, that means I'm doing something that hurts the devil. So I found a way to get above that cloud. I don't like being criticized, but usually I'm criticized for being too hard on truth. I'd rather be criticized for being too hard on truth than too light on truth. I'd rather follow this book too close than not close enough, and I got to hurry up here. Number two. Number one, make cloud your footstool, not your ceiling. Number two, focus on things that are eternal and that do not change. Focus on things that are eternal and do not change. Did you know that your salvation can never change? Hey, come back next Sunday. I have a sermon. I cannot wait to preach. Folks, my problem isn't I don't have enough sermons. I just don't have enough days to preach them all. I am so wound up. I already know what I'm preaching next Sunday. I've already got it outlined. I am about to have a spell. The hardest thing for me to do is not preach it tonight. Folks, your salvation does not change. Do you know that no matter what you do, if you've been saved, you can never be unsaved? I am born again. My name's written in heaven. I can never be taken away from that. When I die or when the rapture takes place, I'll be there forever. My sins are washed away. I'm not condemned. Not only that, the righteousness of Jesus has been added to my account. What do I have to be worried about? Did you know that book never changes? You know, when I face those stormy days, I spend a little more time in a book that does not change. Can I tell you something? The more time you spend in that book, the less you'll live under the clouds, you'll live above them. By the way, if you go to the book of Psalms, it says that God ascribes strength in the clouds. Did you know that those clouds will strengthen you? And you can use it to lift you up above those situations. So your salvation, the word of God. Did you know that heaven never changes? Man, I told Sandy yesterday. She's sitting there holding her daddy's arm. He's just a shell of a creature right now. If he weighs 80 pounds, I'd be shocked. His old ribs down here are sticking out and his belly's emaciated down in under there. I mean, it's just like a slope. I said, Sandy, heaven's real. She looked up and the tears were dripping down. I said, what you thinking? I said, are you thinking what I'm thinking? She said, I don't know. What are you thinking? I said, Brother Mike. She said, how did you know? I said, Brother Mike's probably sitting there in his red pickup truck waiting for your daddy to get there, and they're going to have a good old time. He's going to show him around. She said, I just was thinking just early this morning how Brother Mike led my daddy to the Lord, and I just kind of think Brother Mike's going to meet him there. I said, yes, he will. And Brother Mike's going to help him get caught up, amen? Can I tell you something? Heaven becomes sweeter the more people you send there. You don't have to worry about it. Heaven's a sweet place. Boy, that's wonderful. Hey, did you know when you win somebody to Christ, that person's going to heaven forever, and soul winning will help you when you have clouds? Do you know I can be having the worst day of my life and tell somebody how to go to heaven, and it seems like all the problems go whoosh. Do you ever have one of those foggy mornings and all of a sudden the wind kicked up and it seems like just in a matter of moments, the fog is gone? When you go tell somebody about Jesus and they get born again, it'll take all your problems away. Let me tell you, the clouds will rise. Can I tell you something? Bearing burdens for somebody else will help you get through those storms. Galatians 6:2, bear you one other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, when you help somebody else, it has a healing property to it. Don't take this the wrong way. Usually, I've said this in recent months. When I get attacked, when I get somebody that jumps on me, I always say, God, could you give me somebody to help, please? You know, he never fails in answering that question. Never once. Brother Mike, yesterday, I was feeling a little down. I knew the weather. I knew the schedule. It was just crazy. I said, Lord, would you give me somebody to help today? A little old lady down at the hospice, I was checking in to go see Sandy's daddy, said, Happy Valentine's Day. Where's my candy? She was just funning. I left, came back. I bought me 12 boxes of candy. I left her once. She said, Oh, sir, I didn't mean. I said, No, it's okay. I held up 11 more bags. I said, I got enough for all the nurses. Can I tell you how much fun that is? Man, I had ladies there. They were going crazy. My wife was with me. We were having fun. We really were. They were like, For us? I said, Yeah, dig in, ladies. Okay. Say why? Because a woman will never say no to chocolate. Can I tell you something? God used that to help me. I don't know if I helped them, but it helped me. I felt better. I don't know if they did. They probably didn't after they stepped on the scale, but I felt better. You say, why? Because I was able to help lighten the load of somebody else. Wow, what a wonderful way to live. So, make your clouds your footstool, not your ceiling. Focus on things that are eternal and that do not change. Do you know what? People dying means things change. You say, well, I knew this preacher and I put everything I had in this preacher and he disappointed me. That's your problem. I've had a lot of people let me down, but God's never let me down. The word of God's never failed to come through. It does not change. Number three, and I'm done. Listen to this very carefully. Don't land under the clouds. Bring others up to where you are. So many times we think we've got to come back down under that cloud and say, okay, I'm going to come down here and, no, I'm not going to help Ellen. I'm going to help Mrs. Collin. And you come back down under the cloud. Can I tell you something? When you come back down under the cloud, you're going to see the clouds again. They're going to be above you. That's not how you do it. That's when you say, why don't you come on up here? Did you know to lift somebody above the clouds, you have to be above the clouds too? That's why I don't come back down under the circumstances. If something negative comes our way as a church, I don't usually bring it before you. Can I tell you why? I'm not going to drag you down under the clouds. I'm going to lift you up above it. By the way, most of the time, you don't need to know what the negative was anyway. Not going to help you. Not going to change anything. Let's just live above it, and I'll keep pulling you up. You can't pull someone up if you're not above them. So, stay flying high and bring others up to you. Did you know this morning you really didn't feel like listening to preaching? Say, how do you know? I looked in your faces. You were like this. I had to get animated. I had to get a little more out of myself. You say, why? To bring you partway to where I was. Sometimes you gotta bring people up to where you are. By the time he left, it was again. You didn't feel like partying Friday night till it all started. Once you started partying, you forgot how cold it was outside. Except Mrs. Brining, she's cold no matter where she's at. And sometimes you have to avoid people and circumstances that pull you down. Did you know, and I don't mean this the wrong way, there are certain people, there are certain circumstances I avoid before I preach. I don't generally counsel before I preach because I can't control the negative that comes my way. So rarely will I have an appointment unless I know what it is before I preach. I never schedule heavy counseling right before I preach. If I've got a husband and wife fighting with each other, I'm not going to referee that before I come out here and preach. You say, why? Because I'll probably kill everybody in here. You say, why? That's hard on me. I don't do a lot of heavy counseling. Now, if it's financial advice or you need a little quick question here or there, I don't mind those kinds of things, but I even then try to push it off till after the service. It's not always convenient. And sometimes I schedule appointments before I preach because I know what those appointments are. Does that make sense? But you know, there are certain mail that I get that I don't read until after I've been done preaching. Do you know if somebody puts notes under my door or sends me mail, do you know if it doesn't have a return address or a name, or there's not a name at the bottom of the letter, I don't even read it. I found out most people that criticize don't have enough guts to sign their name. If they don't have enough guts to sign their name, I'm not going to read their criticism. That's just the way it is. I don't read anonymous letters. I don't. When I find out sometimes by accident that there's been a negative take place within the ranks of preachers, you know, I don't get online and investigate it. There's things that have happened in the last several years. I have no idea what's happened. I insulate myself from it. I don't watch it. I don't look for it. I don't study it. Say, what do? I pray for those folks and say, have at it. I got enough troubles right here. I don't need any more. And me knowing about it isn't going to change any of it. So why should I suck down a bunch of negative? I don't do that. I do not spend time. There are some people, before I preach, don't get mad at me and don't think I've avoided you, but there are some people that they'll call me right before I preach. I don't answer their phone call. That's what voicemail's for. Say why? They'll discourage me. They really would. So I don't answer their call. I don't answer their text. Did you know just because you got a text doesn't mean you have to read it? I know that's shocking to you. Now, I know you got an iPhone. It tells whether it was delivered or read. Say, how do you get around that? I pushed the button as though I read it, but I didn't mean I read it. You say, why? Because I'm not going to read something that has the potential to discourage me before I come out here to try to encourage you. I don't try to come back down under the cloud. I'll take the attack later. Folks, I just taught you something very important. Can I tell you something? Prepare yourself to stay up when you know there's clouds coming. Did you know I've had to work extra hard this weekend to stay up knowing Sandy's daddy's dying? Did you know I went to the hospice, watched and prayed with a man who was dying this morning during the first part of Sunday school? Some people, if they did that, they'd have never been able to make it to church. They'd be, oh, I can't believe somebody's dying. No. I went there to encourage, not to get depressed. But I prepared myself. I preached at a nursing home yesterday. And I'm going to be careful how I say this, but Sandy's dad's only a year and a half, 2 years older than my dad. If I think about that too long, I could get discouraged. He's younger than Brother Taylor. He's only about a year and a half older than you, Brother Brining. That's a little discouraging if I could think about it. Now, he's about 20 years younger than Kay, but you saw that coming, didn't you, Kermit? I could see the eyes back there. He was like this. Which way's it going? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I prepared myself. I preached in a nursing home yesterday. Those places could discourage me. Did you ever go into a nursing home? That's not one of the most encouraging places in the world. But you know what? I brought a little sunshine. I brought a little smile. Matter of fact, I preached this sermon to them in the nursing home yesterday. Say why? Because they need to learn to live above the clouds. One of the assistant directors was there. She said, can you come back and preach that with more people here? She said, I wish I could get the whole staff together to hear that one. I said, have them come to church tomorrow. I'll preach it to them. She laughed. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I'm preaching this to my church tomorrow. She said, you're different. I said, you don't know how true that is. And she laughed. Now, wait a minute. She had something in her ear, looked like a spear that was going in and out about three times. She had something through her lip. I'm thinking, she got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and lost. I thought, that had to hurt. Oh, and she's calling me different. I'm thinking, Folks, sometimes you have to prepare for it. I'm prepared for my grandmother's death. You know, I have her funeral sermon just about totally done. So I can cry a little bit. I'll miss her. Do you know that just about every Saturday for I don't know how long after she dies, I'm going to go through withdrawals because I call her every Saturday of my life and have for almost a quarter of a century? Yeah, I know there's going to be days I'm going to pick up the phone and, well, that's right, she's in heaven. And I'll have fond memories. I'm not going to weep. I'm going to remember all the times, the hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of times I got to talk to her. So I can't do it now, but I will when I get to heaven with her. Do you know, I called her yesterday. I said, Grandma, went and preached at the nursing home again today. She said, good. I said, I feel guilty sometimes because I don't get to see you very much. But I tried to love on them like I want somebody to love on you while I'm not there. She said, good. She said, they need that. She said, now, Craig, someday I go to heaven. Don't you let your church suffer. Last time I saw her, Mindy, you were with me. She took her bony, crooked finger, didn't she? She said, don't you let your church suffer if I die. You just, you don't have to come back for my funeral. I said, Grandma, hush. I don't tell her to do that very much because she's tough enough to get me. I said, you just hush. I said, we might have to delay it a day, but as long as it's not a Sunday or a Wednesday, I won't miss. I said, past that, my church will understand, I promise you. And she said, you better not let them suffer. I'm not as important as they are. She cut that finger. I said, your finger's not even pointing at me. She said, okay. Wait a minute. I thank God for that. That's a precious memory to me. Say, are you going to weep about that? No, I'm going to laugh about it. I'm going to remember that. I enjoy those things. Why should I live under that? I'm going to live above it. And look ahead to see the clouds coming. Learn to prepare for it. Learn to prepare for clouds. Learn to prepare for attack. I have no idea what I'll be attacked for next, but guess what? I'm ready. Most of the time, I don't find out till after I've been attacked that I was attacked. Did you know something? When you live above the clouds, most of the time, people that try to attack you can't hit you. They try. They cause a stir down here, but I don't live down there. I'm living up here. Brother Gus, you know most of the time, I don't know till after it's over that they were fighting me. Say why? Because I didn't fight back. I was living above the clouds. Brother Mike, there's times people have criticized me. I didn't find out about it for weeks and sometimes months and maybe even a year. Say why? I was living up above it so far, I didn't even know it took place. About 2 weeks ago, somebody contacted me and they said, did you know so-and-so was mad at you? I said, no, I haven't talked to them in years. Well, they're pretty mad at you. I said, what did I do? How could they be mad at me? And they told me. I said, oh, okay. I said, how could they be mad at me? I haven't talked to them in years. Well, they are. Oh, okay. Say, did you get upset? No, I laughed about it. I thought it was funny. How could somebody get mad about people getting saved? How could somebody get mad about lives being changed? People being helped? Let them get mad. That's what they got mad at Jesus for. I'm not going to live under that. I'm going to live above that. That's how you live above the clouds. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, just almost an embarrassingly simple truth. But one that we all need. A perspective change.